Well, good morning to each one. It's a blessing to be here this morning. Can we begin with a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we come before you this morning. God, we just thank you that we can gather this way, God. I pray that you would be with us here today, God. I pray you would calm my lips, Lord. I pray you would help the words I have to share. I pray that it could be a blessing to the ones that hear them, Lord. I pray your presence will be here today. And I pray you'd fill us all with your spirit. Just thank you and praise all in your name. Amen. Thank you for those thoughts you shared, Aiden. They were a blessing as I thought about that. What is God doing in my life? Is God able to do things in my life? Is he able to work in me as I live this life? The thoughts I have to share this morning come from three verses in 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. These verses have blessed me in the past as I read them. And I thought I would study them a little bit and share with you all what I have found in these three verses. So starting verse 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now these verses are packed with a lot of truths and a lot of things that I'll just skim the surface today as I share a little bit what I found, but they're a blessing to me as I think of them, and I'll just share with you all what I've found. What does it mean to love not the world? The question that came to me is, well, what is the world? I must know what the world is before I can choose to not love it and to not be a part of it. And what does love mean? This word love here, in verse 15, means to be fond, to be a friend of, to be fond of, or to have affection for. So what is that we are called to not love? It's the world. But then in verse 17 here, it tells us, if you look down here in verse 17, it tells us what the world is. It says the world passeth away. So the world is things that pass away. Everything we see here in this life, in this earth, everything we feel, touch, and see will one day pass away. And those are the things that we are called not to be fond of, not to love, not to... there's different ways you can say it, but those are the things that... there's one thing that remaineth. It says that he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. So we are called not to love the world, not to love the things that will pass away. But if we do the will of God, we will abide forever. We are called to be pilgrims and strangers here in this world, and we are called to keep our focus on eternal things. Because we know that one day the world will pass away, but we are called to put our hope and trust in something else, something that will not pass away. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. My mind went to Jesus, our perfect example. He lived his life here on this earth with pretty much nothing. He often ate at other people's tables, and it said he had not a place where to lay his head. He was hated by all men and falsely accused. He lived here in this earth for something greater and better. And then the last part of verse 15, it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So I see that as that's telling us that it's impossible to live a double life. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I thought of the story that we heard before of the man. He didn't want to be a part of God's kingdom or a part of Satan's kingdom. So he decided to stay on the fence. It wasn't long before he realized that Satan owned the fence. By being on the fence, he was part of Satan's kingdom. So if there's anyone here today that's on the fence, maybe you're living a good life, but not 100% committed to God. Or maybe there's some things that you know. Excuse me. Maybe there's some things you know that's not quite right in your life, but yeah, you think you're not that bad of a person. Just remember that the fence, by being on the fence, that's part of Satan's kingdom. So, if you're here today and in that situation, don't wait to get off the fence. Make the choice. It's God's desire that you go all the way with Him. So let's look at verse 16 here. Verse 16 says, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. What are some things that pass away? What are some things the flesh lusts after? Is it money, possessions, fame, being thought well of? Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Second Peter 2:10 says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh, and the lust of uncleanness, and despise government, presumptuous are they, and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. This shows us here what a person looks like that's walking after the flesh. They despise government. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. The next one is the lust of the eyes. What are some lust of the eyes? Satan puts out many traps for the eyes of men. You don't have to look very far in this world before you see the evil in this world. Proverbs 4:23-25 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I take this as someone who is focused and has his mind set and doesn't look left or right, but stays true to what he knows is true and what he believes. Next one is the pride of life. What are some things the soul takes pride in? Men can accomplish things in this world if they put their mind to it. They can accomplish big things. And it's easy to become proud. But the reality is that God gave us everything we have, and we would have nothing had it not been for God and for others. So all these things the soul takes pride in, but these things all pass away. They're all temporary things. Proverbs 16:5 says, Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God hates pride. Pride would take us down and destroy us. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Psalms 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And one more here, Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And now the last verse. Verse 17, and the world passeth away. So we know that the world is things that pass away. Things that we know that will pass away on judgment day. There is much more wisdom in putting our effort in the eternal things. We are called to work here and to work diligently, but I want to purpose in my life to live more with an eternal perspective. If we put all our hope and trust in earthly things, we will be left with nothing. 2 Corinthians 4:18, "While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And then the last part of this verse is the best part of this. "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So there's a desire in every person to to live forever and for things to not decay. But the truth is, everything here in this world decays. Everything. Everything we see, feel, touch, everything is decaying slowly. Some things are a little more stable. Some things last a lot longer. But for the most part, everything is decaying and dying. But there is one thing that God gave us that will never decay, and it's our soul. Our soul will never decay. And it's up to us if we want to live eternity with God or an eternal death. So God has allowed us to make this choice for ourselves. It's our choice to choose eternal life or eternal death. So this was a blessing to me to study these three verses. And I know I just probably scratched the surface today, but it was a blessing to me to look at it. And I hope you all could get something from it. So I think that's all I have this morning. Thank you for listening.